Thank you. פרשת השבוע, פרשת לך לך. פרשת לך לך מתחיל את הניסיונות של אברהם אבינו, הניסיון של לך לך היה כפול. It was a double ניסיון. What was a double ניסיון? קודם כל, עצם הליכה is very challenging. הקדוש ברוך הוא saying, you're going where? I'm not telling you, just go. Because Baruch Hu is basically saying, get out of here. Etzem alicha. And then Avram Avinu goes, and you figure Hashem says it's going to be great. Because Baruch Hu omer lo, ve'eschel goy godol, v'avarecho, megad l'shemecha, ve'heyei brocha, akol yiyeh beseder. Everything's going to be good. And what happens? He goes, and where does he walk into? The Yehira of Ba'aret. He walks into a famine. Like, where's the Kodesh Baruch Hu taking you? It's like a dead end, it seems like. And then he has to navigate this situation. So, Vayered Avram Mitzrayma. So what does he do? Now he has to go to Mitzrayim. He couldn't live here. So one would think, like, you'd get, you know, like, Hashem, what are you doing to me? You bring me over here and it's no food. He goes to Mitzrayim. He's approaching Mitzrayim. Now I know that you are a beautiful woman. When the Mitzrim see you, they'll make the affiliation, the association that I must be your husband. They'll kill me so that they could live with you. I want you to please say that you are my sister. Leman yitav li ba'avurech. They will be good to me because of you. What does good to you mean? Says Rashi. They'll be good to me. They're going to give me lots of presents. So what's happening? Let's try to be Mata'er this. This question has bothered me for so many years. I finally got a Teres this morning. Let's be Mata'er. Okay? You ready? Avram Avinu is afraid for his life. There's people here who are going to kill him. So what does he say? Could you save my life? And then I'll get lots of presents. Do you understand the problem? Like, Avram Avinu is, he's telling Sarah, look, my life is at risk. You know what we're going to get here? They're going to say that you're my wife. They're going to kill me. So instead, could you save my life and give me a lot of, I'm going to get presents too. I'm going to get presents. What in the world is going on? Leman yitav li ba'avurech, v'choy sanavshi b'glaleif. I'll get to live because of you. And so I'll tell you one pshat that it says here. Nechmad. This is a sefer Mekach Toiv. It has a lot of these similar types of. It's a Likud sefer. He brings from the sefer Kedushas Tzion. The Kedushas Tzion says the following thing. Kedusha Sin says like this. Let's ask a different question. Avram Avinu ohev matanot? Avram Avinu likes to get presents? He likes presents? Kodem kol, Avram Avinu, when he was offered presents, he said, from Sdoim. What did he say? Imichut v'ad shuchna. I don't want to take anything. Don't give me anything. Seems like Avram doesn't like presents. The chutz mizeh, we know that the Mishnah tells us a person shouldn't take presents. What does the Mishnah say? Soinim atonais. Yichyeh. So says the Kedushas Tzin, Adrava, Avram Avinu didn't want to take the Matana. Avram Avinu was going to reject the Matana. They were going to offer him a Matana, says the Kedushas Tzin, and then what was he going to do? He's going to say, I'm a Soyna Matanois. What's going to be the result? What's Soyna Matanois? What happens? Yichya. So it says Avram Avinu that the pasuk says, "The man hitav li ba'avurech." They're going to want to give me things ba'avurech, and because I won't accept it, v'choisa nafshi biglalech. That's my guarantee, my life policy, my insurance policy, because that's the way that Avram Avinu was assuring that he's going to stay alive. It's a very sweet pshat, but I think that it's not the pashut pshat in the pasuk. I'd like to tell you what I think is pashut pshat. Why is it not pashut pshat? Because it sounds like he took the matanas. He was going to take the matanas. Why did he take from here and not from Stoim? He doesn't want Stoim to say nishat. Whatever. Akitzer, I think I'd tell you what pashut pshat is. The question is a big mistake. What's the question? Avram Avinu, you're so busy with the matanas, can't you see the big picture? I mean, your life's at stake. Isn't that insignificant? Matanas are insignificant right now. There's something much bigger here. And I think that the answer is that there's nothing insignificant in the eyes of Avram Avinu. Nothing. Avram Avinu is going to have any benefits from Sara Imenu putting herself out right now, he is going to express his gratitude to her for it. He's going to tell her, if you do this, I want to tell you, I have to thank you for saving my life. And I have to thank you for the fact that I'm getting gifts. Like, most of us would just overlook that. It's like, you know, I just want to thank you for saving my life. And then the other thing is just like, it's just like we don't even see it. Avram Avinu saw everything. Because small people see the big picture. Big people see even the details. See everything. And therefore, Avram Avinu was saying to her, I want to thank you for that too. And I think that this is the pshat. By Rochel Imenu, Nachmi Odim, that Yochel Imenu waited for so long for children. And she said, I'd rather die than not have children. She was desperate for children. She did anything she could to have children. And she finally has a son. Eza simcha. Eza simcha. Imagine. What did she name her first child? Anyone? Yosef. So there's two reasons why his name is Yosef. Rashi says, Osaf Hashem es cherposi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has gathered in my embarrassment. Cherposi is my embarrassment. Why is that? Ki lifnei she yesh la yeladim, before she has children, what happens if she had her own tent, you know, Leah had her own tent. In her tent, Yaakov comes in, and the bowl is broken. Someone knocked over the bowl. So Yaakov would say, Mi asadze? What's she going to say? So she has to admit that she's guilty. Now that she has a kid, says Rashi, it's great. Because now, if I break something, I can always say, oh, Yosef did it. It wasn't me. You got it? So that's a good question. That's a good question. Now, I guess you'd have to figure out how that works with the shadow of Neshal and Bias. How does that work? And now it'll be Meshakel, it'll be Meshan. They got to figure it out. But the Vaila, we'll have to get back to that question when we get there, okay? Remind me. I ask you a question. She's been waiting so long for children. She names her son that now she has excuses. That's what she wants to name her son? This is what she's thanking Hashem for? This is what she's been waiting? Tell me, this is what she's been waiting for? Fine. I mean, how many times did she break a bowl already? And I choshev pashut pshat, that Rochel Imenu did not miss even the smallest detail to be Meshabeach and to be Mahal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to thank Hashem. And if you just say, thank you Hashem for a son, I love him so much, and I have someone to care for, someone to give to, and all that, but you missed out. There's something else Hashem did for you here. So she thought, thanked Hashem all the way to the bottom for everything, every detail. That is a truly great person. It's a sign of greatness. The small people see the big picture. Big people see even the details. Now, what happened over here in this story? It's a story that has some interesting things. Now, I've said this Dvar Torah already yesterday to my shiur, and I said it last night also to Rebbe Polansky, and those of you that heard it, you'll hear it again, because I think that it's ma'ot chashuf, and it's kedai to lachzor ala noseh. So Avram Avinu is getting close to Mitzrayim, and he says, "Hine no yodati ki shif asmarot." Now I see that you're a beautiful woman. Up until now, he didn't know. Now he knows what happened. Rashi brings a sipur that he was taking water from the water bank, and he saw a reflection. It's a coincidence. It happened like right as he was getting close to Mitzrayim, mamish, at the edge of Mitzrayim. It's one question. The Zohar, it's brought in the Sefer Emes Yaakov from the Nesivos. The Zohar asks another question. Ask the Zohar, how did Yaakov Avinu know that they were such violent people, or such decadent people, that they were such bad people, that they would kill him in order to be able to have his wife? I mean, that's really despicable. How did he know? Avraham Avinu lived in Kor Kasdim. He traveled over here now to Canaan. He's going down to Mitzrayim. I mean, he's not, he never met these people before. He never met them before. How does he know that that's their moral code? Says the Zohar, a dover noira, mamish dover noira. And Zohar states, Avraham Avinu was a person who was kulei kedusha. He was just one large chunk of spirituality, of ruchaniyut. He was willing to give up his life, everything. Give up everything for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by him, his whole purpose of being was just... As a matter of fact, he never even saw his wife. He never looked at his wife. That wasn't something that he was here for. Avraham Avinu, as he was traveling and getting close to Mitzrayim, hirgish, he had a hargasha, he had a feeling. Davar shehi shulo hirgish b'chayim, something he never felt before in his life. He felt at that moment, and that was a taiva for his wife, for a beautiful woman that he never had before. Never once before did he feel drawn to, let me see what she looks like. Why did it happen right here? Avraham Avinu said, I know why it happened here. Because this place is saturated with Averus. This place is saturated with Znus and Arias. There's so much Tumah here that it's pulling me down. It's bringing me to a place where all of a sudden I feel like I want to do it. That's intense. And Avraham Avinu said, the intensity of the Tumah here is so strong that people will kill for their taivas. These people will kill for their taivas. I feel it. Avraham Avinu said, I feel it. I'll tell you Sippur, I said it on Sukkos by... When I was sitting next to, Binyamin Lehrer's father, grandfather, I'm sorry, who he met Rabbi Chon Wasserman. Rabbi Chon was in America. I heard this from one of Rabbi Chon's Talmidim. Rabbi Chon was in America. He was walking with his Talmidim in New York, and they were walking, and he was surrounded by his Talmidim. And as he's walking, Rabbi Chon says, we have to cross the street. Something feel it. It's not good here. So they walk the street, they cross the street, and they continue walking. And the Talmidim turn, and they see over there is a place where people do avodas. They saw it. So they said to him, Rebbe, how'd you know? How'd you know? He said, are you kidding? If the Chofetz Chaim was here, he would be able to tell you exactly which avodas and how many avodas happened. He said he was so in tune, so he was able to feel the tumah. He was able to identify it. I just know that there's tumah here. That's all I could do. But the Chofetz Chaim would tell you mamish what happened. Because the place has tumah. That's the pshat the Beis Halevi says. Moiridik says tishma. I understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to kill all the people. They were immoral. They're immoral people. They're doing averot. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to kill all the animals? What did the animals do? Does anyone know what the animals did? The animals also, it says that they were having relations with other animals. It was like they were like not even like in the same species. Now why did that happen? They didn't have Bali Bechira, they didn't make that choice. They don't have Yetzaharas and Yetzatov. Says the Beis Halevi, because there is this koyach of Tuma that will bring the animals down. They don't talk to people, they don't understand people, they have nothing to do with people. But if you're in the vicinity of Znus, it affects even animals. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the top layer of the world, of the ground, because it was saturated with tumah. And you got to redo that. Anytime a person is in the vicinity of a mokoyim, of averos, it will cause him a yerida. Whether he's going because he has to walk through, he has an appointment, he has to just get some ice cream, he just wants to go to eat. If he's just, whatever it is, you go there, it will knock you down. Period. There's no escaping it. Ze ha-metziut. And the metziut is also hafuch. Hafuch ha-kavana. Last night, Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky told a story. He told a story about someone who was a Yid that lived in Toronto. And he lived by the, you know, where all the frumah people lived. He was a big machnis oirich. He had a lot of guests, and particularly he had a special room for rabbanim, rashi yeshivas, talmidei chachamim. This was his guest room, and he always had that. That's where the talmidei chacham stayed. There was this one room that, and he had a steady. Whenever a talmid chacham came to town, that was the address. Came to stay by him, stay in his room. So last night, Rav Shmuel told the story that, you know, the times change and people were moving out of town to the other side of town. So he also moved to the other side of town, left the house. He sold his house to a secular family, Jewish family. Didn't necessarily need to live by the front people, but he bought the house and had a nice sized family. They put one of their sons in that room, not knowing anything about the room. You know, it doesn't mean anything to them at all. So Reb Shmuel, one of their sons became a Baal Tshuva, a Ben Torah. He said, I know his children, I know the entire family, this is the only one. He said, being in the room, sleeping in the bed, in the room where the Gedolim were, had a hashpa on him. Just being in that place, just being around, do you know how many people learn Torah? Right where we are in this vicinity, in this area, how many thousands of people are here? Just being here has a hashpah. The Maral says, we say in the Pasuk, Baruch atah bevoyecha, Baruch atah betzeisecha. Baruch atah bevoyecha means you should be blessed when you come. Baruch atah betzeisecha when you leave. What's Baruch atah bevoyecha? She beischa, says the Gemara, beischa karev lebeis haknesses. You should be able to sleep near a beis haknesses. Why is that a bracha? We know that if a person walks to shul, he gets schar licha. So the further you have to walk, the more schar you get. So it should be better to live far away from the shul, asked the maral. Omer maral, apshatu. Someone that lives near a shul is the pshat that his bias is going to be radiated by the kedusha of the shul. Someone that sleeps near the base medrash, you know, these are the lucky rooms, guys. The closer you are, room 15, room 16, 18. Yeah, the closer you are, the more hashpa you have from the base medrash. Baruch atah bivoyecha. And that's something that is so important, yet it's delicate. To be able to be sensitive to that. To make sure to always put yourself in positive surroundings and environments. Okay, one more. The Dvar Torah. Plus it says, that as Avram was challenging, was traveling, the pasuk says, "Perek Yud Beis, pasuk Tes, Vayisa Avram," and Avram traveled, "Haloich v'nasoya hanegba." He went and he traveled, "Haloich v'nasoya hanegba," to the south. Negev is the south. Avram was "Haloich v'nasoya hanegba." He was going down. He was going to the south. Shael Baron Kotler, Zechat Tzadik Levracha, Rashiva of Beis Medrash Gavoya of Leku. Rabban Kotler asked the question, what does it mean, Haloich v'nasoya hanegba? What are we telling us over here? He's running south. Well, what's that coming to say? Says Rabban Kotler, Akavanahu, south is a remez to Chachma. It's a remez to Chachma. Why is it a remez to Chachma? It's a remez to knowledge, to Chachma Satoira, to learning. Avram Avinu was haloich v'nasoya hanegba, because the Gemara says a person wants to become a chacham, you should tilt a little to the south, right? We daven towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You should tilt a little to the south. Haroitza sheyachkim yadrim. Just tilt a teeny bit to the south. Simonech the menorah is bedorim. Okay, the south, the dorim is the makom of chachma. So Avram was haloich v'nasoya hanegba, means he was running towards Chachma. What does it mean, haloich v'nasoya? Says Rav Aaron Kotler, you know, sometimes people, they like learn, and it's geshmak ha-seder, it's time to close the book, and okay, let's chill. Avram Avinu didn't do that. Avram Avinu was haloich v'nasoya. He did it, and he kept doing it, and he did more of it, and he's pushing himself and pushing himself. He just kept going deeper and further and more, and he was going on and on. He didn't stop. And that was the greatness of the Nisyonis. You know, all of us have Nisyonis. Sometimes we're mitgaber. But a Nisyon, and then another Nisayan, and it keeps on piling up, and another Nisayan, and Avram Avinu is going full speed. You know, it was a rough moment. Okay, so now let me chill a little bit. Didn't happen. Avram Avinu has a Nisayan which is like overload. Take your son and kill him. I want you to slaughter your own son. We can't even imagine the amount of emotional strength he needed to be able to overcome that Nisayan. And then he gets back and he wants to tell his wife that everything's okay. And she's dead. And he's been through a lot with his wife. Now he's got to bury her. And he's got to go, he's got to deal with, you know, the Ephron Achiti, you know, the swindler who's like, he has to handle with prices and this, and then pay like this crazy 2-3 million, I don't remember the number, someone made the number, figured out how much, it was a ridiculous amount of money. And can I have a break? Can I have it easy? But it doesn't happen. It's haloich v'nasoya. He's on the move. He's going. The Gemara, when it says a person passes away, what's the mishpat? Alashon shel Gemara, when a person passes away, noch nafshe, which means rest. May he rest in peace.
rest. But up until that moment, ein lo menucha. He doesn't have a rest. He's pushing. He's moving. And every second that we're here on this world, we're here to continue to grow. We should all be zeicha to go.